It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Film lovers. Notice the note of surprise in my voice. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Sozi. This show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which someday we'll update at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Voice you just heard, Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
I forgot, you use this once, right?
Yeah, we did this when...
We had this.
The guy passed away.
Oh, Gandolfini.
Yes.
Yes. What brought that up? What brought this on today, sir? This
is
good.
I just saw it in the file.
Because you know what? Because you're sitting over there, and I'm sitting over here. So, great song.
Yeah.
There's a band that I've played on the Blues show, the Nighthawks, and they do a version of this.
Cool.
And it's very cool. Yeah, that's good. I haven't heard that in a while. Welcome to the 1999 production of Film Sociology. Nah, we love The Sopranos. All right, a little later on, we are going to replay a classic chat, because all of our chats are classic here at Film Sociology. The chat that Kobe and I had with Chef Robert Irvine, of course, the Food Network correspondent, or Food Network representative of...
Yes.
Of Film Sociology. He's got two new programs opening next Thursday. There is Chopped Impossible and then Restaurant Impossible Ambush.
Oh, yes.
So Chopped Impossible is at 8 o'clock. The Ambush is at 9 o'clock on Food Network. And we talked about this with Robert the last time we spoke with him and his lovely wife, Gail, when they were going on holiday. So we'll replay that a little later on in the show. And we have a dead person we like because we don't have time for dead people we don't like. And I have a presentation to give to Kobe because there is no rivalry in the silver stakes game. You have to actually win one every now and then. So there's that. Oh, hell, I'll do it now. Why not? Now, just a recap. The Silver Stakes game, and welcome, by the way, welcome to the fantasy football portion of Film Sociology.
Ba-da-da,
that's right. We're not Gunner. but our team's play, Zazu Zazu, who emerged triumphantly again.
Yet again.
Fourth year in a row. The Patriots of the league.
We are the Patriots of the league. And I can say we because it's my team. I'm the team owner.
And and you're also the commissioner.
And the league commissioner.
So like the Patriots, there's a fix in. Anyway, his team, Zazu Zazu, beat my team, the Tommy Wiseau All-Stars. And the way this works is the winner, of course, gets a raw steak,
yep.
Which he will be getting soon. Mm-hmm. Or as I like to say, oh, you'll get yours. And if my team were to win 5 years ago, he would have to watch a film of my choosing.
Usually something scary.
Or freaky, but not too scary and not too freaky because I'm a compassionate person. I'm not going to make you watch a snuff film or anything like that. And those are illegal. I wouldn't do that to Kobe. And, of course, if he wins, then I find a Pam Grier movie he has not experienced yet. And at this rate, he's going to get through the whole filmography of Ms. Grier. So anyway, I was trying to remember, Cobe. I couldn't remember if, because, you know, the Pantheon ones you've seen, Foxy Brown, Jackie Brown Coffee, Friday Foster you saw. She was the newspaper reporter.
I can't remember. I feel like I have seen that
and
one.
And then I don't think you have seen Sheba Baby.
Nope.
So, all right. So there you go. There's Sheba Baby.
Awesome.
From the, of course, the MGM Soul Cinema Collection. And this, of course, means, and this is probably a relief to your lovely wife, that maybe next year, if your team should win again, which is very likely, we will start dipping into Pam's women in prison movies from the early 70s.
We saw the Big Dollhouse.
That's right. You did see the Big Dollhouse. So there's still the Big Bird Cage. There's still the Arena. There's still Black Mama, White Mama. So there's three more of
There are more of those.
There's more of those. And really, you should experience the films that were shot in the Philippines in the early 70s. Different time, different continent.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Well, on the back of this one, it says, Pam Grier is better than ever. Variety.
Yes, that's where you go for your film criticism. Mm-hmm. Not here, of course. Filmsociology.tumblr.com. So, yes, enjoy Sheba Baby. And yes, of course, every year when you get a Pam Grier movie, we think of your lovely wife, Bianca.
Very good.
Maybe this will be the year that she gets the whole Grier thing.
Maybe.
And, of course, we're still working on the double feature. Yep. I have not forgotten.
Nope.
All right. So now that that's done, thank you. We go into what's opening in theaters today. There's a film opening today starring Jack Black. Is Jack Black still on your list? Because I couldn't remember if he was on it or he was in danger of becoming a part of it.
I'm not crazy about him, but I don't grossly dislike him like some of the other people.
Like Vince Vaughn or Ryan Reynolds?
Like Ryan Reynolds. There you go. I never really cared for Jack Black and the crazy, loud, screamy...
Because you have me.
Yeah, like, oh, the kid, the parents just don't understand the kids, but I'm 40 and...
What are you, Bill Cosby?
Yeah,
I get it. So High Fidelity, no?
No.
School of Rock?
Not really.
Well, Emma loves School of Rock. Yeah. Of course, she's 13 and younger. Bernie, which I still think is...
Like Bernie a lot. That was... That's what I was about to
That might have
to.
Kept
don't
him off
like,
the list.
Yes, don't like School of Rock, that type of... Bernie, very good.
Okay, but yeah, I understand what you're saying, because there's films like Orange County.
Exactly.
And Sullivan's Travels.
Yeah. Gulliver's Travels.
There was the original call. But yeah, there was a period where, yeah, just let Jack get on there and do some stuff, and that'll be that.
Yeah.
But Bernie, he could not do that. They was able to hit, this is, and that's Richard Linklater. This is what happens when you actually have a director direct an actor, as opposed to, well, let's just let the camera roll and he'll just do a bunch of silly stuff and we use the best of it.
Mm.
That happens. So, okay. Well, anyway, he's in the film version of Goosebumps.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever you did not read those. You don't read. You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you read those? You don't read.
No, I was not saying that. It was because it's kind of spooky and freaky. That's why I had a voice of,
Well, yeah, but I mean, that was like, I mean, I don't know. I was like second, third grade.
Young adult. Young. I mean, it was young, creepy, spooky, as opposed to Hitchcock or the other stuff I want to thrust at you. Okay, that's fine. Anyway, well, he's in that. So, and it's just interesting that they're just now getting into these. A film version of
Goop. Yeah.
So, anyway, that's happening. That's opening in theaters. And it's interesting because depending on how you look at the ad campaign, he's not mentioned at all. But I think it's more the brand of Goosebumps than more than just, it's not a Jack Black film, it's a Goosebumps film. So anyway, that is out there. Also, speaking of spooky and freaky, and you're not going to see it, Crimson Peak.
Nope.
Thank you, Lana.
Nope.
The latest from Guillermo del Toro with Tom Hiddleston and Jessica Chastain. So, and it's directed by Guillermo del Toro, who gave us, of course, Hellboy and Pan's Labyrinth. So from what I've read, it is his version of the haunted house story. The 13-year-old wants to see it, and I think the 13-year-old likes Tom. So that's going to happen. So as a father, I will take my child to this. This might be her birthday movie next week.
Oh.
She turns 14.
Wow.
I will check in to see how her percentage is. My daughter is a big fan of Bob's Burgers, as we are here at Film Sociology. We are pro Bob's Burgers. Mm-hmm. And at the last time I checked, Emma is 80% Louise and 20% Tina. I will check in with her on her birthday to see if those numbers have changed. You'll be the first to know, folks. But the film I did see this week, saw it last night actually, is Bridge of Spies, which is new collaboration between director Steven Spielberg and actor Tom Hanks. Could you get the audio for this, please, sir? Mm-hmm. And this is, of course, based on a true story, like every other film. I'm going to pull up these papers for no reason. It's my Jim Rome portion. But it's based on the gentleman who Hanks plays a lawyer who is who's defending a gentleman who's accused of being a spy for the Russians. And then along the way has to organize a hostage swap between not just the Germans, but also the Russians in Cold War times. And anyway, here's some audio.
You've been selected for a mission which you are not to discuss with anyone outside of this room. We are engaged in a war with the Soviet Union. This war does not for the moment involve men at arms. It involves information.
Something important has come up.
We've got a Soviet spy.
But there's a wrinkle.
They got our spy pilot. Or the head full of classified information. The Russians want their man back before he cracks. We want you to negotiate the swap.
I'm an insurance lawyer. I'm not sure I want to pick that up.
Are you good at what you do?
This will be a first for the both of us.
You should be careful.
I'm talking to you about the security of your country.
Why aren't we hanging him? He's a spy!
You're asking me to violate the Constitution.
Do you know how people will look at us? The family of a man trying to free a traitor?
Everyone deserves a defense. Every person matters. Where do they want this negotiation?
East Berlin. If things go south, you can't rely on any help.
Just tell me that you're not going to be in any danger. I don't even care if it's the truth. Give me something to hold on to.
We need to have the conversation our governments can't.
People in my country consider this an act of war.
You can call it what you want. Let's be clear. Nobody is safe.
We're in a battle for civilization.
The Constitution, it's what makes us Americans. Shouldn't we show our enemy who we are?
Things have started to fall apart.
Is this your position or your government's?
Is there any outcome here where I'm not either detained or shot?
Do we need to worry about you?
No!
What's the move when you don't know what the game is?
The next mistake our countries make could be the last one.
I think even Hans Zimmer is saying, hey, that's a bit much.
A little bit.
Oh, by the way, side swipe. Happy birthday to Brian G. Hartz. Today is his birthday. So we hope his birthday is in 4/4 with lots of cellos.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Yeah. Maybe we'll play his theme music, his intro music later as a birthday present. And just another excuse to play it. Anyway, yeah, so one of the benefits I love doing, besides playing audio on the film show, is I get to watch Kobe's reaction while watching this. Kobe, I have to let you know, it's not nearly as action-packed
as the trailer sounds.
Yes, yeah, sounds. It sounds as heavy.
Yeah.
Thomas Newman does the score, not John Williams, and it's a little on the heavy side. And the film is more like one of my favorite spy movies is called The Spy That Came In From the Cold. Based on the Jean Le Carré novels, starring Richard Burton. And it's more about the day-to-day routine as opposed to a Bond movie or a Bourne picture. Mm. And this film sounds like it's trying to be a Bourne picture. It's not. It is not. It also helps that you have every man Tom Hanks involved in this. the first half of the film, as you heard, is him defending a gentleman who's accused of being a spy. And, of course, as sometimes we have to remember, everybody is entitled to a defense. And that's – so there's elements of it reminded me a lot of Reversal of Fortune, which is a great film about lawyers and the people they defend. And not saying he's Atticus Finch, but there that also brought to mind my minds of uh-huh. of Atticus Finch having to defend this guy. And of course, you have the people representing the Cold War era of Americans wanting this guy to get the death penalty, to get the chair. So, by the way, The Exonerated opens November 6th at Earlham College. Speaking of having everybody get a fair. So the first half is a lot of that. And then we get into the negotiation part of it. And then him having to travel to Berlin to try to set up an exchange. Yes, there is. Somebody at the Kiwanis luncheon today asked me, is it violent? Is the movie violent? And I said, not really. There's a scene in the trailer, which is probably the most horrendous, of people trying to climb over the wall and then his house getting shot up. But that's about as many bullets as you're going to get in the film. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is not an action-packed popcorn movie, despite the bombastic soundtrack.
It's a talking packed.
It's a talking – well, yeah, I think of the genre that Emma has created, Men in Suits Talking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
this seems to fall right into that category.
But it is a well-done Men in Suits Talking. I think Ed Johnson-Odd, if you read his review in Nuvo – yeah, we have a new clip. We can use that one, right? Matthew Sosa says, well done, Men in Suits Talking. Ed referred to some of Spielberg's movies as medicine, and he actually liked this one. And so, anyway, I thought that was a nice way of putting it. And he referred to it as putting the burners on at medium, which is actually a good way to put it. It is not heightened like an action movie, and it is not as low key as something, say, The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, which I think is more like that. Good performance from Hanks. Yes, sir.
Something that. What about Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy?
I think it's more like it's more like that, but again, it's more about the negotiation as opposed to having to go after somebody.
Okay.
So yeah, that's not a bad comparison either. Yeah, more Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Can't say the title that Malcolm Tucker says, or more of that than say the Bourne Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So, interest you at all?
No.
Would Fair Sweet Bianca be? Would this be up her alley?
I'm not sure. I think it might be, but I've not.
That
heard.
Might be. Honey, here's your dinner conversation. Honey, Spielberg, Hanks. And she'll say, "They work well. They work well together.
Yeah.
They work well together." So anyway, that's there. So you can go check it out.
Yes. Now that was a good movie.
It was. And I should point out, I saw it last night at 9 o'clock, and it was a long day. So
it's also an art film.
Are art films released on 3,000 screens? Yes, I suppose, yes. Because all cinema is art. It's just the various degrees of how arty is it.
Mm-hmm. How arty.
How arty, that's right.
How men in suits talking is it?
It's very Men in Suits Talking. But we're all entitled to a fair trial. I saw the film last night at 9 o'clock. Long story. Normally, I would see it at 10 a.m. this morning with the old, the unemployed, and the weird. But I had a luncheon with my father-in-law, which was fun. And so I had to film. I was filming a promo for WFYI last night because Pledge Drive is coming. Oh, it's coming, folks. And anyway, so I was up working on that, and then by the time we got done, and with my drive home, it was, do I see Bridge of Spies, which starts at 9 o'clock, and it runs about 2:15, or do I wait until 9:30 and see Crimson Peak, which runs 2 hours? Plus, you have 20 minutes of trailers mm-hmm. for each, so I opted for Bridge of Spies, besides the fact that the Emma wants to see Crimson Peak. So what? She's I don't think she's as turned off as scary stuff by scary stuff as you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. She wants to watch The Exorcist Sunday, so I think we're doing that with our buddy Kyle. But she remember it's in the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
That's a special thing. I can watch it in the daytime. And she'll have her protective blanket with her.
Yeah, I can see why that would have scared you.
Oh, yeah. Great, great Emma quote. So anyway, I think it is between the combination of a Steven Spielberg movie and a Guillermo del Toro movie opening on the same day. We're getting Steve Jobs next week, and then 99 Films is next. It was last week, which I really liked. What else are you looking forward to?
Been seeing previews. Rock the Casbah.
Ah, yes.
Do you know anything about this?
No.
Okay.
No, it's Bill Murray in the Desert with Bruce Willis and some other folks. Uh-huh. We'll see. We will see. I did see the trailer, and I know it was all the buzz this week of the new Coen Brothers film, Hail Caesar. Which, by the way, I forgot to mention.
Oh, yes.
I forgot to mention, the Coen Brothers are credited as screenwriters for this film.
For what?
For Bridge of Spies.
Oh.
They are.
Really?
So, and I'm intrigued because someday I would like to know what they wrote, what portion they worked on. And immediately when you think Joel and Ethan Coen, you think, okay, they wrote the goofy stuff, the funny stuff. Well, there isn't a whole lot of goofy funny in here. And these guys are capable of writing more than that. Obviously, look at something like No Country for Old Men. This is like when, you know, Richard Pryor was one of the writers on Blazing Saddles. But he did not write the just quote-unquote, the sheriff parts, as people, I think, would assume.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually wrote other stuff besides what we think was the obvious. So anyway, I will be intrigued later on in life to find out what section that the Coens worked on. Because, again, it's a good level. I mean, it's a good, as Ed put it, a good medium level as far as intensity. It's not overwrought. It doesn't harass, despite the music that kind of hits you over the head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you were given lines that, if it didn't come from Tom Hanks, would sound a little too earnest. And a little too earnest. So anyway, so that's out there. But yeah, Hail Caesar is opening in February. And apparently George Clooney is now moved, because, you know, the three films that Clooney worked on with the Coens, George referred to as his idiot trilogy. Between Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Intolerable Cruelty, and Burn After Reading, where he's playing not the brightest bulb in the lamp. And I think he's doing that again with Hail Caesar.
I'm anxious to see that. When Bianca and I were in California last December, we toured the Warner Brothers lot, and they were filming Hail Caesar.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get all squishy?
No, nobody.
Oh my gosh!
Out there. The set was up. They had pieces of the set up and out, you know. But.
And a really good cast.
Mm-hmm.
So very excited.
Looks like it.
Very excited for that. Now, so I think we are in the midst of grown up movie season. Finally,
it would seem that.
So and you know we're all the better for that. Okay, so that is happening. Of course, tonight. Tonight is the opening night for the Heartland Film Festival.
That's right.
And they're showing Room.
Not the Room.
Tommy Wiseau, not involved with this one.
And not only is this the premiere for Heartland, this is the world premiere of the film.
And it's here in Indianapolis.
That's right.
You're welcome. So anyway, that is happening tonight.
I think that's at over at Traders Point, I believe.
No, it's at the IMA.
Oh, that's at the IMA.
At the IMA with an after party at the Jazz Kitchen.
Ah, cool.
I believe that's correct. So anyway, you can go to Heartland Film Festival, oh gosh, .org? Am I right there? Yes, heartlandfilmfestival.org. # Heartland Film, Heartland FF. Anyway, so we have movies running through, of course, tomorrow. You know, it's running the 17th. All the way through
25th.
The 25th. So,
and if you're listening on Sunday, sorry, you missed a great party at the Jazz Kitchen last night.
Yeah, sucks to be you. So, running through the 25th, and of course on Sunday the 25th are some of the award winners.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's plenty to choose from. So if you want to take a chance and see something you're not familiar with, and you might not be able to see anywhere else, now is the time to do it. So get out of the house. It's going to get chillier. So get out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth it. So, Kobe, what is happening at your alma mater?
Well, in addition to Heartland Film
Fest, yes, sir.
IU Cinema has stuff going on as well.
Of course.
Tonight in the Friday Night Lights series at 9:30 from 1982, Poltergeist.
The original. Don't need the remake. Did you see the original?
Nope.
And you won't.
Nope.
Very well done. Very creepy. And that was a PG-rated horror movie at that time. Scary movie. So that's out there. Yep.
Saturday, October 17th at 3:00 from 1988, My Neighbor Totoro.
Uh-oh, I can hear Emma squealing from the house. Yes, wonderful Studio Ghibli Miyazaki film.
And then this is cool. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, sorry, IU Cinema from 2008, It Might Get Loud.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a music nerd's dream. That's Jack White. Ooh, jeez, that's a different movie. Jack White, Jimmy Page, and The Edge.
Yep.
You like all three?
Don't like Jack White.
Okay, but you'll like him in this. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I've seen this.
Yeah, this is, if you're a musician in any way, shape, or form, you'll really get something out of this. If you are a novice or you push play, which is my skill, it's fun to watch these three talk about their craft.
Yeah.
And
the parts with The Edge are just
ridiculous.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That man's gear. I mean, Joe Satriani looks at his gear and goes, wow.
Yeah.
But there's a great moment, and they use it in the trailer, of how he gets that U2 mm-hmm. sound. And, you know,
it shows
like,
you what the sound is and what he's actually playing.
Exactly. It's really, really cool. And I believe on the DVD, which you should go get, there is more jamming. I think I wish there was more footage of the three guys playing together. And I believe some of that is on the disc. But anyway, it's a very satisfying night, 2 hours of music.
Yeah.
And music talk.
Very cool.
So that's very cool. All right.
Sunday, the 18th, IU Cinema, 3 o'clock. Harry Who and the Chicago Imagists.
Uh-huh.
And then Behind the Beautiful Forevers at 6:30, HD Performing Arts. That's National Theater Live.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, Tibbs.
Yep, what's happening at the drive-in?
Goosebumps and Hotel Transylvania 2.
Sure, kid spooky movies, sure. That fits. That
Crimson fits. Peak and Trainwreck.
Two R-rated movies. Yeah, that's okay.
Martian and Pan.
Sci-fi fantasy?
I guess,
yeah.
Woodlawn and The Intern.
Which one's Woodlawn again?
Football movie.
Oh, okay. Well, that's out there.
And then? Here we go. Big font, very top, TibbsDriveInTheater.com.
Big font?
Colts on the big screen, Sunday 10/18.
Really?
Yep. Looks like they're going to throw the game up on the big screen.
Never done that. Would you go to that?
If
you didn't have plans?
It might be cool, but
it might get loud.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I kind of like that. Well, you got another night of using the drive-in. I mean, it's you know, we're in the waning time of the drive-in season, yeah. So that might be fun. How is that different from tailgating? You just get a big screen. You actually watch the game.
Yeah. That's true.
Could you bring in? Well, of course, you have to actually eat the concessions. Folks, actually buy the concessions at the drive-in, please. Don't be that guy.
That's what keeps him in business.
That's that's where the money is. So don't forget that. And what's happening at midnight at Landmark?
Landmark this week. Freaks.
Todd Browning's Freaks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Old scary.
Old scary. Well, it's not scary. It's it's freaky. It's disturbing. It's 30s disturbing. Oh, that's. I think I might have to go to that. Yeah, buddy. Want to go, Cole?
Nope.
Want to call Bianca, see if she wants to go?
No. No. No.
Thank you, Sterling.
And then Skyline.
Yes.
Nothing new.
But so as a recap.
But still going on.
Uh-huh.
Tonight, actually, and tomorrow, 7:45, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Really? The original. Okay, that's new. That's all right. So the original, that's cool.
I didn't know Johnny Depp was in that.
Yes, Johnny Depp was in, he had a role. He was also in Platoon.
Hmm.
This was in his early days, obviously.
So that's at 7:45, followed by at 9:30. From 1977, The Hills Have Eyes.
The original. Oh, it's a Wes Craven feature. Cool. All right.
And then at 11:15.
Yep.
From 1973, Scream Bloody Murder.
Not Scream Blackula Scream.
Nope.
Darn.
Scream Bloody Murder. Do you know this?
Tell us about it. I don't believe so. Now, this could also be a film that had several aliases, and I might have seen it by mistake, but go ahead.
Well, they've got the poster up here.
And what's it say?
And the very top of the poster says, the first motion picture to be called Gornography.
No, yes, I have not seen that. Well, you know what? Why don't we go? Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Hot internet searching action. Why don't you look that up on IMDb and see if that's there?
Okay. The little caption here. A disturbed boy kills his father with his farm tractor, and his arm is mangled in the process. He's taken to a mental hospital where he's outfitted with a hook to replace his lost hand.
That's a no good. Deranged guy with hook, with kid with hook hand.
Yeah.
No. Oh, so there's, but it's listed as porn gore?
It says gornography.
Oh, gornography. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you might want to check on, do some research on that one before going to see it. Is it like a Herschel Gordon Lewis movie, maybe? The Wizard of Gore? See, unfortunately, when you have ography,
directed by Mark Ray, Mark B. Ray,
also known for, as he says, going down the IMDb file.
Don't know. Stars Fred Hulbert, Lee Mitchell, Robert Knox.
Nope.
Don't know him.
Nope. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to suggest you do some research on that one before seeing it. Just putting that out there.
When he's released from the asylum, he returns home to find his mother has remarried, which sets him off on a murderous rampage.
So it might be just bloody stuff. It might be just killings. I'm thinking that.
Sounds like a load of fun.
Sounds like a load of fun. That's... by the way, Kobe, I would not show that to you if Tommy Wiseau ever won a game against Zazu Zazu. I would not show you that. I'd show you something classier like Hitchcock. So, yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, when you got the ography thing thrown out there, like, yeah, you might want to check. Normally, ladies and gentlemen, I would say go to a movie with as little prep work as possible. You know, let it wash over you and see what happens. That one, you might have to make an exception to the rule. You know, that was like when Hostel came out and the term torture porn started to come. I'm like, what? Got to check on that. So anyway, so that's good. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, there is plenty to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we take a break?
Okay.
There's a title we want to talk about. It's on Blu-ray. We have a dead person we like. And then our classic three-person chat, Kobe and myself speaking with Robert Irvine and his lovely wife Gail as they were going down a holiday to promote Robert's new two shows, Chopped Impossible and Restaurant Impossible Ambush, next Thursday on Food Network. Anyway, we'll be right back. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Let's just go. Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology. Matthew Soucy here, hanging out with Kobe Slagle. Got a couple minutes before we get to our interview with Robert Irvine. Hey, Kobe, just to mention, opening this weekend as well, because it's horror season, and there's a really cool play. Yes, Titus Andronicus is being done here in Indianapolis. I have nothing to do with it, but this is right. But it's playing where this weekend? It's running three weekends.
The Indie Artist Colony.
And what's the address on that?
26 East 14th Street, Indianapolis, 46202.
That's running three weekends. Kelly Gualdoni, who I've actually directed, she plays Tamara in that, and she's going to be on the film show in a couple of weeks.
Cool.
Also, next week's show, Sammy Terry, because it's his time of year. Wow, that was
best. So nice. I didn't
yeah,
get
I know.
Into that.
That's all right. And he'll give marital advice to Kobe, because that's always good. Just enough time to say I did rent San Andreas, and good for Dwayne Johnson to get
you
a big,
almost called him.
I
the
did.
Rock.
I was bad. So it's him, you know, chasing after his family as pretty much all of California, including San Francisco, is starting to crack at the seams, literally. But yeah, he gets to run and jump. I don't think he works out at a gym. I think he just does these movies as part of his workout regimen.
And you have Paul Giamatti being scientist guy.
And yes, very pro science. They have no scenes together, but it is
really
his, yeah, Giamatti's portion to the film. He also got a big check, and his portion is to remind you that listen to the scientist, and Dwayne is going to save his family. So anyway, it's out there. You can rent it. It's cheaper to rent it. That's all I really got to say about that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, one of our favorite regular guests, Robert Irvine. We talked with him earlier this summer about all sorts of things. Chopped Impossible starts next Thursday at 8 o'clock, and then Restaurant Impossible, The Ambush, starts next Thursday at 9 o'clock on Food Network. This was a special one because he and his lovely wife, Gail, were going to holiday, and Kobe and I both got to talk with Robert about all sorts of things, including these shows. Here is our chat with Robert Irvine.
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Chef Robert Irvine is on the horn. Hello, friend.
What's up?
Is this true? You're going on a summer holiday? You're going to sound like a Cliff Richard film?
Well, yeah, we've got my whole team, and it's kind of a vacation, but it's a little work involved too. So
okay, but
we have a dinner tomorrow night at the Sanctuary Resort, and with Bo Mack, Chef Bo McMillan, and then a little downtime.
Well, good. So I think your work, yeah, your business meetings are going to be a lot more exciting than ours. So congratulations on that. So Friday, this coming Friday at the Horseshoe Casino in Chicago, even though it's actually Hammond, Indiana, but it's still in the same area. Tell us, for those who have not seen your show live, tell us a little bit about your live show.
Live show since inception, and you were the first one, if you remember.
Yeah.
Or with the first one. It's gone through about 4 or 5 years now of change, and it's a two-hour, multi-sensory, exciting time that the guests get a chance to interact and basically dictate what I do, from the food I use to the utensils I use, the heat. Am I using I don't know, straitjackets, handcuffs? What is going to happen? And it's really interesting to see how people want to mess with me or test me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. Great for kids. Great for families. We honor our military and do some good things.
So, and one of the things I think about is your crew, who of course work on just about every whim you have, as far as the amount of shopping that needs to be prepared. Because I mean, how much groceries do these guys pick up for a show?
Well, it's funny because I don't get a chance to see it. I have Shane or Daryl and the team do that. They pick out the most unusual foods of the area and what it's known for, and they try to stump me with them.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say kudos to you, sir, because not often we get to hear straitjackets and handcuffs and family-friendly show in the same breath. That's a good one.
Well, I used to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches 6 foot upside down in a straitjacket. but you never know what's coming next, right? That's
right.
The fun part of it's almost like Dinner Impossible meets Restaurant Impossible. meets Saturday Night Live and Worst Course of America.
Yes, of course. And I know from seeing it, there's a lot of audience participation. People, of course, try. Some folks are able to try the food, but I know you do even something as simple as the different taste in oils that you cook with, because that's something we normally don't shoot back with a beer chaser. But you make people think about the food that they work with.
I want people to understand and take something away, no matter what it is. If the child takes the fresh food is good away, or the mom takes the grapeseed oil is better than olive oil, salt is used if it's best from sea salt instead of iodized salt. There's always a lesson in things that we do in a fun way. You know, adults are like children. They learn if they're having fun. It's much easier. So we try and make it as much fun as possible with a take home for a lot of different things. So it's interesting to see how the children react and how adults change. And you can see that pretty much after the show is finished, and social media and how they try dishes and they send pictures. And it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. What has been the craziest challenge and or the most difficult dish that you've had to do on stage?
Oh, Matt, every week or every show, I should say, there is something more silly. I've had gummy bears. Pig's feet, lobster, what are them things? Who? Lucky Charms. Make a dish out of it in 20 minutes. And they get sillier and sillier. But more importantly, we actually figure out how to create a dish that actually tastes good. And that you would actually, where am I going, left or right? Sorry,
it's okay.
Guys.
It's okay.
I'm trying to drive at the same time as talk to you. So more importantly, we figured out how to make food taste good that you never thought would ever go together by using their techniques of boiling, baking, frying, blending, all those type of things that we do in kitchens, but without an oven.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bake without an oven? Good question, right?
Right. Well, I've used ground up corn flakes for a coating, but I've never imagined Lucky Charms. So,
they're disgusting. They're too sweet for me. I don't know how anybody can eat them.
I think maybe a little spice, cayenne pepper, maybe salt and pepper to help, dull the sweetness a little bit.
Yeah, they need a lot of help.
So again, it's a lot of fun up at Horseshoe Casino up in Hammond, Indiana, Chicago on Friday. And there's a good chance Robert's going to more than likely be able to hang out and talk to people afterwards. I know you're really good about trying to meet as many people as you can.
Yeah, I want people to have a great experience. Not everybody can go to a restaurant. Everybody can go to a taping and help with the restaurant if possible or any other show. So it's a great time to get meet and greet. Find out what's going on with their family life, their community, and you know, one thing, Matt, that the show does, the sale of the product that we, you know, books and t-shirts, and luckily enough, I've got a brand new book coming out on the 10th of August. Some people have already received the pre-orders that were specially signed and hardback covered, but you know, that money goes to help our charity, our 501c3 Rotary Line Foundation, and help Gary Sinise and Kids with Cancer and all those things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so people can actually help somebody else by going to the show.
So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, how have your burger flipping skills gone? Or no, I say, how has Gary's burger flipping skills gone since
it's
you last
time? Every time I have a game with Gary, and it's kind of funny. If he flips the burger three times and catches it, he gets $5,000 to his charity from my own pocket, which is fun.
Well, to be fair, he could always throw his Of Mice of Men script and say, learn this.
He's an amazing actor, but he's an even more amazing humanitarian, and what he does for our veterans and active duty men and women and firefighters and all those guys in uniform is amazing. I'm just blessed and honored to be able to help him do that. Our focus is very aligned, and we do a lot of stuff together, so it's really cool.
So tell us a little bit more about Fit Fuel, because I know it's a combination of how you know, what you do as far as a physical regimen as well as a culinary regimen, right?
So Fit Fuel is a book that I wanted to do that nobody else wanted to publish. They wanted me to do a cookbook, and I wanted to show the correlation between food and fitness and families. So this book is not for just men. It's for women. It's for children. It's for families that can do things together. There's beautiful exercises in there. There's lots of tips on how to buy, what all those buzzwords mean on the side of packages, some great, simple, healthy recipes. I think it's about 200 pages in the book, or just under 200 pages. It's a great read. The pictures and photography are fantastic. Matt Tuthill, who helped me do the book, is an amazing guy. Fitness, you know, I've been writing for Muscle Fitness for 3 years, or 4 years almost, and working with him and on the book, and my team, Shane, and the rest of the guys. We produced a book that I truly believe is something very different, and it's good for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this something where you can pick a particular day, like to work on your arms or your back, and then a particular recipe that goes with it, or can you mix and match?
There are both. You can follow my direction of workouts, or you can mix and match and do your own. The same with the nutrition. There's lots of great sidebar tips that help you understand what we think we understand about what fat does and what acids do, you know, lemon juice, lime juice, et cetera, et cetera, and how to cook food correctly. So I have to tell you, I was so excited when I saw the book. I was like a little kid because we've worked on this for a year and we self-published it, which means we can make more money to give more money away.
Mm-hmm. Gee, I wonder what you're going to be giving to everybody at Christmas.
Humbug.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the muscular Scrooge. That is Robert Arvid. That's so not true.
My wife is the best giver.
Uh-huh.
Dale's the best giver. She has the best thoughtful gifts always.
Oh, cool. So, you know, my birthday
is... She's looking at me right now saying, yeah, I am. I do.
Remind her, Emma's birthday is November 5th and mine's December 19th.
she's listening to you.
Now, are you going to do a book tour? Are you going to do a book signing tour?
We're doing some stuff as we're on the road, but the schedule is so busy. We're filming season 12 of Restaurant Impossible. We've got another couple of shows coming up. Our military travels are taking us back to Afghanistan, back to a few places that we've been. We were just in Patrick Air Force Base with the 45 Space Wing last week. So, you know, unfortunately, we can't do like a traditional book tour, but we do things where we can. I want the book to be able to sell itself. I don't want to go and because we meet and greet people everywhere we go, right? So
yep.
It's not like, oh, we've got to go to Scottsdale, Arizona and do a book tour. We do Scottsdale, Arizona, we'll do a show, we'll do a dinner, and we'll do books, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we get the opportunity that a lot of people don't.
Well, Robert, I don't see yourself going to a Barnes & Noble in a smoking jacket and reading excerpts from Fit Fuel. I think you would come up with something a little crazier than that.
Yeah, we take it in the middle of Afghanistan and take the recipes and feed the men and women in uniform that stand and watch every day so we can do what we're doing right now.
There you go.
That, to me, is more important than me, as you said, going to Barnes & Noble. I want to be amongst the people that give so much of their life and their sacrifice, their family sacrifice, so we can do what we do, and you know how important that is to me. So,
of course.
We do some strange stuff.
Well, if I find any Shakespearean sonnets about cooking, I'll send them to you, so don't worry about that. Now, my film show producer, Kobe, is here, and, of course, the man who created the artwork of Be Calm and Know Your Food Costs. I'm asking on his behalf, in Fit Fuel, do you have any soup recipes that he could... Kobe's not the biggest soup fan in the world, and I'm trying to change his mind on this.
I've got 1,000 or 2,000 or 4,000 soup recipes that you can go online, either on my site or on foodnetwork.com. There is some stuff in Fit Fuel for that, but I want him to get the best of the best. So why doesn't he download all 4,000 of them and do one or two a day? You can freeze it. You can eat it. You can give them the gifts. And, you know, are you single? Is he single?
No, he's married. He's a married man with a cat.
That's just some light weekend reading.
Man. His wife would love a different soup every day, made by his hands and made with love. And the cat, well, the cat can eat leftovers.
See, I'm just, again, this has been my quest since we've worked together on the film show. When he told me he was not a fan of soup, I'm like, you just haven't had the right soup.
Well, that's for sure. Soups are amazing. I love soups. Gail loves soups. Not anybody doesn't like soup.
Thank you.
Come on, man. Give
nice
it a
to, nice to talk to you, too, Robert.
Get your soup with us. We're going to come over there, and I'm going to send Gail with you, a bowl of soup for you or something.
There you go. Now, you said you have Restaurant Impossible coming up again soon. What's been cool has been seeing different challenges as far as venues and the types of restaurants. Can you give us a sample of what we might be in store for as far as...
Well, I can tell you the whole season 12 is ambushed. The people have no idea that I'm coming, and I don't know where I'm going. And it's been, we just finished one in Chicago, outside Chicago yesterday, and it's very challenging because we can't get volunteers because they don't know I'm coming. I can't give it away. It's hard to get supplies because we can't go shopping until, obviously, we spring the surprise on these people because we don't want to give anybody, you know, I walk around somewhere, people know I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me, I'm hidden when I arrive at the dark of night, and I'm not let out until the morning when we surprise these folks.
Well, that's an interesting twist on that. I mean,
it's very exciting for me because it's something like what we did at Heroes Welcome when we surprised the military guys in Hawaii and rebuilt their home. It's just exciting because these folks have applied maybe a year ago or 4 months ago or whatever, and they have no clue whatsoever that I'm just going to walk in and say, hey, I'm doing your restaurant right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean right now.
That's a new twist because there have been many times that Emma and I have watched a show and you walk in and Emma has said, you mean that's the best they've done knowing he's coming? As far as the decor and the cleaning and all that.
You wait till you see some of these. We finished two of season 12 for you.
Do you have an aspirin? Do you have an aspirin endorsement?
You're in for a treat right now. And a Tums. Yeah, Tums
Maalox.
Yeah. Tom's gone to the stratosphere, pulling his hair out with me. So, yes, it's going to be a very exciting. I think we come back out with a new season of somewhere around the 22nd of October, which will be very exciting because, you know, I've done a distillery. It's very interesting. I think you're going to love it, and you'll tell me anyway because that's what you do. I love that.
Yes.
And the guests.
Yeah, I know.
And we're moving to Thursdays.
Oh, Thursday, okay.
So we'll have a new show called Chopped Impossible. For four episodes, a very special series called Chopped Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will air the hour before the new ambush-style Restaurant Impossible comes on. So we'll have 2 hours of Rob Irvine television going forward.
We will work. We'll have to work on RITV.
Yes. Yeah. So it's all good. I can't complain.
And then I think you're also going to make an appearance on Rachel's kids' cooking competition show. Am I right?
Yes, I was with Rachel with the kids. And it's funny because this season is the first time that we've eliminated a child. That sounds really weird.
I was saying, normally
we tell children that everybody's a winner. And in real life, it's not. It's not like that, and we know that.
Right.
So I get to be the bad guy and send one home.
Yes, yes. It's the elimination in the competitive sense of the word. It's all about
absolutely not the elimination in the other way.
In the action movie sense of the word, yeah, I know. It's all about word choices.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of
that's why you do what you do, and I do what I do.
Yeah, believe it or not, this is your pledge dollars at work right now. So, now speaking of Impossible, have you been able to see the latest Mission Impossible film?
No, but I've heard it's absolutely amazing. What is your take on it? Rogue Nation. I've heard it's amazing, and I love action-packed stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you and Tom Cruise give the Impossible title visitation rights. It's that sort of thing. I can tell you it's
funny because we wanted to use his music for Dinner Impossible, and
ooh.
We had to reformat it because he wouldn't let us use it.
Yeah, that's a tough. That's a tough. That's I'm sure that was a tough exchange. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I'm sure it would be expensive too.
Exactly. What's fun about the films is, you know, they're all standalones. This was Emma's first Mission Impossible film. And it kind of reminds me of the Bond stuff where, you know, you don't have to watch them in a particular order to enjoy them. And this one, of course, has an action sequence that has nothing to do with the rest of the film. And it's the one that you've seen in the trailer with Tom Cruise hanging out of a flying plane, which he actually did.
Yes, I watched the Entertainment Tonight piece on that, where he did hang on the fuselage, correct?
Yes. Yeah, he did that, ladies and gentlemen. He did that so we don't have to, I think. So thanks, yeah, Tom.
I would do that for fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Irvine at home.
Yeah, that would be kind of neat. I'm all about, you know, Gail and I did the Golden Knights. We jumped out at 14,000 feet and all that stuff. I like that adventure stuff.
Well, Kobe and I, our adventure is to be on the ground with popcorn watching you do that. So, you know, thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, look at that. That's cool.
Boy, that's really high up there.
Yeah, listen. There's only one way. If you're gonna go, you better go in a big way.
Out with a bang.
Out big way.
Out with a bang, not with a whimper.
That's it. Hey, listen, I want a big shout out. There's a young lady by the name of Juliana who has. I want to tell you a little quick story. She
Please.
Is 10 years old. Beat cancer 5 times, and unfortunately, the cancer just returned to beneath her heart. And I FaceTime with her all the time and talk to her when she's going through her radiation and chemo. And I want to, you know, send prayers out and make sure all the listeners can pray for her and her family because they're going through a tough time right now. So
absolutely.
If you could do that for me, I would appreciate it.
No
I know
problem.
You're a good man.
Yeah, you can go to, yeah, we'll keep, that'll be on there. And then you can go to your Twitter page as well as RobertIrvine.com to learn more about that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's that's you know, being 10 is tough enough on a daily existence, let alone to have that a stumbling block like that, big time.
Hey, we just support as many of these great young kids as we can, and give them as much fun, and try and take that daily grind out as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
But I know she watches the show, and she's huge watching movies, and so. When I talk to her later on my FaceTime, I will tell her, "Hey, listen, I just talked about you."
That's right.
So
she has Indiana love, absolutely.
I will send her that.
How are your girls doing?
My girls are doing great. They're busy. Annalise's getting ready to go to University of Central Florida in a week or so, and Talia's running around. They're just moving house, or close to a beach.
Uh huh.
With their mom, and just great. Gail sitting by the side of me, listening. I've got Ryan behind me and Daryl, and the rest of the gang are already at Camelback. So we'll gonna have a lot of fun.
Yeah, you need like summer holiday. You need a double decker bus for your entire crew.
Actually, we've got an SUV that I'm driving, and we got a group of people behind in a bus type thing, and some are already there.
Cool. Cool.
I said, make sure you save me the master suite. That's all I care about.
You need room.
Some quality time with my wife.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure you'll watch a movie of some kind. You have my list of suggestions.
You'll be the first to know. If we go to Rogue Nation, I'll be sending you a text in about, you know, 2 hours.
Exactly.
That's our time when Gail and I are off together. We love the movies. You know, we've talked about this before, 2 or 3 movies in a couple of days. Normally we go back to back on one day if we can find 2 that we like that sync together time-wise. So, yes, it's that downtime and a little warm here, so we won't be sitting by any pool.
Mm-hmm.
I've got delicate skin. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you're a porcelain man, of course.
That's it. I'm a porcelain man.
You
listen.
Yeah.
I've got to love and leave you.
Okay.
Because I'm about to pull up into this location, and there's going to be a lot of noise.
Okay.
I really appreciate your friendship. I appreciate your radio show. I appreciate what you do. I love your family. And Gail, what do you want to say? Oh, my goodness. What do you want to say?
Oh, hi.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. She's like on cloud 9 right now, looking at a mountain.
Yeah, talk to me. You're looking at a mountain. I understand. I know where I sit. It's okay.
It's really cool. Sorry.
No.
It's sexy.
That's
sexy, Matt. But I'm sexy. Yeah.
Yes, it's nice to have an in your title, sir. Well, look, guys, have an avocado facial and a mojito for us, and enjoy your holiday, and we really appreciate being a part of the show. Don't forget, folks, Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana, this Friday. Go see Robert and tell him Film Sociology sent you. You've been warned. Thanks, Robert.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, have fun.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.